from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Not in Lowe's yesterday. It looked like he was just wearing sweatpants. You know, that adds up.
Judon had everything on and he participated in every single drill. Team drills, individual drills. He did everything he had to do.
So you said the other day that
sometimes when they put pants on, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
But I think the shoulder pads kind of give it away.
Well, yeah, leg pads.
No, we don't do uppers. We don't do uppers. Either we're full pads or we're shells.
Jerod, coming back to Matt Judon for a second. I know you said the expectation is they'll always practice. Do you have an agreement with him that he'll continue to practice in pads? Because he didn't do that last year in his contract dispute.
I expect all of our players to, if the dress is full pads, to come out here in full pads. I expect all of our players to, if the dress is shells, then to be out here in shells. And like I said, like, we're moving past the Judon thing. We're both in a good place. I think the team's in a good place, and we're pushing forward.
Yeah. Getting you live for your Sunday is KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. John, it's good to be back with you. I feel like I've been on Ashley Madison in this relationship, and I've been having an affair with myself. But it is so good to be back with you. And that's Matthew Judon being talked about by Jerod Mayo in terms of the situation where it was ugly at the beginning of the week of Judon not practicing. We saw the videos and clips of him having some type of words. Usually, you know, when you throw your hands up in the air or, you know, you shake your head no, it's not a good conversation. But I think we've talked about this on the show, John, right, is that this might be Jerod Mayo's turn of the key of him being the locker room leader while being the head coach.
Yeah, and it's good to be back with you too, KJ. And I was part of that media scrum yesterday at practice, and you could just kind of tell that Jerod Mayo really didn't want to talk about this anymore. And I can't blame him for not wanting to talk about it anymore, but it's still kind of hanging out there, right? Because they had that issue earlier in the week, and I know Judon came back to practice, but even at practice, he's been participating. And yesterday I was watching him out there, and again, he was part of it, but it didn't feel like you were getting the full Matthew Judon yesterday. Like, he was doing what he had to do. He didn't have a bad attitude per se, but it was like, he's doing what he has to do just to be out there, to participate, to be part of it, and that's it. So it's still kind of, even though they say they've moved on, that he's back out there, it's still kind of hanging over things.
Well, this is what's dangerous now, I think, in this current media society, when players just kind of off the willy-nilly go off and say things. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying what you think, but there are things you cannot put back into the toothpaste tube, right? So when you talk about, hey, they've got all this cap room and where is my money and so forth like that, like, let your agent do that stuff in another room. If you want to do that by yourself, come work in radio. That's where you can scream as loud as you want, like, I need more money. You really can't afford agents in this industry. But once you do that, you've kind of given up. You're admitting that you've lost control. And you would have figured that, hey, going into the season, if there was one thing the Patriots probably had to have on this roster, was Matthew Judon's leadership, because clearly the offense is going to a complete metamorphosis, right? This is like phase two of the butterfly, and the first butterfly died. And then you say, okay, if the defense is the one thing you had, and even when you did play last year, despite your injuries that you had that kept you out for the remainder of the season, you flashed on the field and continued to be one of the, as I say, top seven or eight in the conversation in the league of your position. And to have that on this team is going to be very important. But you've lost control of your narrative when you get out and start screaming about money, and about how you need to pay me now and so forth. I think Matthew Judon has kind of lost his power in this conversation with this team, and that's why you see him like kind of going through the motions in the drills.
And I think this whole thing, KJ, is a learning experience for Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf. And the reason I say that is go back to February, right? Because Jerod Mayo got hired as head coach in mid-January. Elliot Wolf didn't get the official promotion until after the draft, but he was essentially running the front office at that time as well. So in February, those two guys had to know, hey, we have all this cap room, we're going to spend money, and we're going to re-sign a bunch of our own guys. So they should have made a decision back then, either A, we're going to trade Judon, B, we're going to extend Judon and give him a raise, or C, we're going to sit down with Judon and say, hey, we want to pay you, but we want to see if you're healthy, so get through training camp, get through the first couple weeks of the season, and then we'll up your salary or we'll extend you. And none of those three things have happened. So this is something that, again, like we've talked endlessly about what's going to be different under Mayo than it was under Belichick. What's changing here? This is something specifically I don't think we would have seen happen under Bill Belichick. And look, they had plenty of contract wars under Belichick. I'm not saying that, but the on the field back and forth that we saw, the player complaining so much publicly. And also, like, if you're Judon and you line up yesterday in a training camp rep, well, look around. Devon Godshaw's next to you. He got paid. Jabril Peppers got paid. Kyle Duggar got paid. Jelani Tavai got paid. Mike Onwenu's lining up across from you. He got paid. Stevenson's running at you. He got paid. Barmore, who's not even out there because of his unfortunate medical situation, he got paid. So it's not just like one or two guys got paid. If you're Matthew Judon, you're looking around and half the guys around you have gotten big money extensions. So again, I understand why Judon's frustrated. I'm not absolving his behavior, but I understand why he's frustrated. And I think this whole thing is a rookie learning experience for Mayo and Wolf that, I mean, they should have had this decision made and handled in February or March.
KJ and Lines on WEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Join the conversation. We got Lines Den coming up in about 30 minutes. Plus, you've got the classic Would You Rather More Likely To for an athlete, for an actor. Plus, we've got to talk about what happened in the Olympics and the Boston Globe having to retract what they put. It's full show today. We're here till 1:30. You know, John, you mentioned those three options that Mayo and Elliot Wolf had to make in February with Judon. I would offer up a fourth, which is, let's see what happens and see how this plays out, and here's why I say that. All these guys that you mentioned who got their money, how many of them ever made jokes on social media about who the team got or who wasn't coming or who was coming? Who was running their mouth the most on social media?
Right, Judon. And I would also say, to add to that, Judon's the oldest of that group.
Okay, so that's the given, right? That's the one thing that you don't even have to explain. And sometimes older players, they have to know that in the back of their mind. Is a team going to commit long term? Are they going to commit years or money? You would hope both, right? To a player that's aging. At what point do you catch the wave before it starts to come into shore, right? So you have to know that as a player. I'm sure your management team is telling you that probably in a great situation for Judon is something that gives you a couple of years, high-level money, and then determined to probably move on from that particular situation. But when you get out and you say, hey, this team's got all this cap room, I'm thinking like, okay, if they were going to spend it on you, they would have already done it. And you probably would have gone silent on your socials, and you didn't. And you probably don't do rogue interviews, and you did. Okay? So when you're doing all these things and you still have not achieved what you've wanted to achieve, that probably is why you're back out on the field going through the motions, kind of like, okay, up, down, one, down, two, up, down, three, down, four. So now the question is going to be, and I'm sure management's looking at this, does this carry over into preseason? Like, are we going to not see Judon at all in preseason? Is there still more of a mini stalemate going on? Like, do you hold him out of preseason? I would say probably caution on the side of Vera and say he's more important. We know he's on the team, you know, like limited snaps. But what if he says, you know what, I'm not playing any in preseason? Then do we have an issue now?
And I wonder, did Judon have some sort of agreement last year with Bill? Because remember, he had his little hold-in last year. Mm-hmm. They moved money up. Was there some sort of agreement like, okay, hey, we'll move this money up, and then in the offseason we'll rework a deal or we'll trade you? We'll figure
something out. Franchise under new management.
Right. And now, okay, Bill leaves, and Mayo and Wolf come in, well, they didn't have that agreement with him, right? That's something different. So that's not their thing. But again, whatever the situation was that they came into in mid-January, you got to know, hey, we're going to offer Kyle Duggar a bunch of money. We want to extend Jabril Peppers. We're going to give Mike Onwenu and Stevenson a bunch of money each. What are we going to do with Matt Judon? It felt like there was really no forward thinking of, hey, Judon's going to be pissed if he looks around and sees everyone around him getting paid, and what are we going to do about it? It just feels like either they didn't think about it or they got the assessment completely wrong. But I keep going back to, KJ, this should not be an issue right now. It's a huge learning experience for them, and you're right. It's not just a learning experience that's done. This is continuing on. I mean, is he going to say, hey, I'm not playing in the preseason? Or, hey, joint practice against the Eagles next week. I'm not going to be part of that. Forget it. Or, hey, I'll show up for game week in week one. Because he had that argument with Mayo on the field. The next day he's not there, but then 2 days later he is there, but he's not really a full participant. Yesterday I'm out there watching him, and I'm like, hey, he's here. He's participating, but he doesn't look like he's all into
it. Your body's here with me, but your mind isn't.
Right. So
I've been in those before.
And today's an off day. Right. Yeah. Today's an off day. So what's it going to look like tomorrow? Is he going to be out there tomorrow? Because you got to think this week you have the preseason game on Thursday. So they're probably only going to have maybe one high intensity practice this week. And I would bet on it being Monday or Tuesday. So is he out there for the lower intensity practices, but not the higher, or vice versa? Is he out there for all? Like, that's the thing. This is still lingering, and it's going to continue to linger until either he gets paid or they trade him. And they've kind of backed themselves into a corner where they're going to have to do one or the other, I feel like, within the next couple weeks.
You know what this Judon situation reminds me of? Join the conversation if you like here on WEEI. Is I was concerned that Mayo would be kind of seen as the substitute teacher to some of the players on this team. And you didn't think he would be tested this soon. You would think that maybe be tested on maybe some game plan management, something that would happen in season where you'd say, okay, Mayo's skill set as a head coach is being tested right now, and said play or said series is going to bring up some questions, okay? I did not expect for his authority, because that's what's happening. His authority is being challenged. Like, if you took the tape of what happened with Judon and Mayo from earlier this week and put it back 2 years, do we see that scene?
And also,
Do we see that scene?
I probably not.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got it. So treat the substitute teacher the same way you would treat your regular teacher as they're in here. And that is a bit of a concern, because I wouldn't expect it to come from Judon. And this is why I think Judon may be starting to write his ticket on the way out. And it may not be towards the situation that he may see best for him, because the way he's handling this. Like, business is business. Anything can happen. If someone gets on the phone and is willing to overpay you for Judon, you have that conversation. But now when you have that conversation, do you really think, like, hey, we want to help Matthew get to a title? You know, if the Chargers are on one line and the 49ers are on another line, and the Chargers offer you a little less than the 49ers, but you like it, you might be like, Yeah, we took the deal from the Chargers. Judon may say, hey, I wanted to go to the 49ers. It's like, hey, because you didn't play ball inside the structure of when you were still here. It's like, if you know you're on your way out, you still got to do this stuff with your head high. And it feels like the head's dipping, and it can only get worse.
And this is also, I think, an early test. And I don't think it's going to be like anything, you know, fatal to the relationship. But it's an early test of Mayo and Wolf's relationship. Because if I'm Mayo, maybe I'm like, hey, why am I dealing with this at practice? Shouldn't you have negotiated a deal with this guy? Or if I'm Wolf, maybe I'm looking at it and saying, hey, can't you handle this situation until we pay this guy or figure this out? Like, it's an early test, I think, in that realm as well. And here's the issue, too.
I'll tell you what. Keep that thought here, because we got a trend here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lyons on your Sunday talking Patriots, Judon. We'll talk Drake May as well. But right now, it's time to trend with Jacob Lassiter.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the Rangers last night 7-4. Tanner Houck went 5 innings and let up 6 earned runs. He is 0-2 with a 6.88 earned run average in 3 starts since appearing in the All-Star game. As a group, Red Sox starters are 3-5 with a 5.92 ERA in 14 games since the break, with the team going 5-9. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about this after the game.
So you seeing any common pattern here for his struggles over the last month or so?
Not really. I think today the pitches were really good. Obviously he has a tough one, but the slider was really good. They worked extremely well together, Danny and Tanner. Two pitches, right? And it happened fairly quick against the bottom of the order, I think he threw the ball well.
The Red Sox are back in action today at 2:35 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Pivetta is on the mound for the Sox. Nathan Eovaldi for the Rangers, a good friend of ours. The Sox lineup has not been announced yet. Joe Weil has the Mass Mutual pregame show at 1:35. Mass Mutual, insurance, planning, investments. In the Olympics, the United States men basketball team is one step closer to gold after defeating Puerto Rico 103-86. They have made the quarterfinals with the first seed in the tournament. Jason Tatum had 10 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, and they will face Brazil in the quarters. Elsewhere in the Olympics, Team USA trails China in gold medals, but has the lead in total medals with 61. The Patriots are off today, and this Thursday they have their first preseason game against the Panthers. Gerard Mayo said Matthew Judon has been practicing with the team. Here's what else he had to say.
Drake may play in the game?
We're still having those conversations. Once again, look, maybe all the starters will play. I'm not sure at this present time. We'll see how we do today and how the guys kind of present the following, next couple of days. But, we'll have a lot of guys play.
My name is Jacob Lassner, and that is what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Just kind of from your perspective, what did you see from your offense? What did you see from yourself out on the field today?
Yeah, I think the guys are practicing hard. That's the one thing you want to see. The guys, especially up front, no line, man, they're out there sweating. They probably have the hardest job fighting guys every play. So credit to those guys, the receivers. Receivers, running backs, tight ends, they're running all around. Quarterbacks kind of got the easier job of just standing back there. But, it's mental for us. So, I feel like we had a good day. Got to look at the film. I think one of the best things that, David Andrews told me is it's never too good, it's never too bad. So just learning from it. And I think we're doing better, operationally. That's what we've been focused on. Not too many false starts, miss assignments. So I thought we did a good job from that standpoint and try to hang in there.
Thank you for starting your Sunday with KJ and Lyons on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 25 minutes away from the Lyons Den. That's Drake May, who, John, I got to give it to him. I like his tone and energy when answering the questions than the golly gee, we're just hoping that we used to hear for the last 3 years. So we'll get to the Drake May conversation here shortly. We've been talking about the Jerod Mayo leadership situation with Judon. Let's go to David in the car. Thanks for joining us here on WEEA. David, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So I do want to make a comment on Drake May after, but I want to get to Jerod Mayo's point. The issue here is Jerod Mayo is being treated like a substitute teacher. You guys are 100% on point with that. And that's ownership. You blame ownership for that. That's because, you know what it is? We had what we had. We had a dynasty for 20 years. And ownership got involved, even bringing in the offensive coordinator, choosing it, you know, which they really, you know, your head coach needs to do that because you got to work one-on-one with that person. And I think the Crafts, and what's his name, the son particular, I think he had a lot of saying, and that's the Jonathan Kraft, and that's the problem. And it's a shame. It's a shame that they're not letting Jerod Mayo be a coach as he should be. I'm Mayo, Drake May. You know, there's this thing it's called in business when somebody comes in for a job interview and they interview well. Just because they interview well, they speak well, they say the right things, are they the right person for the job? You have to look at that. You have to analyze that back and forth, up and down, however you want to say it. I don't think Drake May is ready. I'm not saying he's not going to be ready. I think the worst mistake they can do is play him this year.
David, thanks for the call. Yeah, thanks for the call. We'll get to Drake May and your comments here. Let's get to Matt. Thanks, Matt, for calling WEEI. You're on KJ and Lions. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Like the show in the morning.
Thank you.
So I think one of the problems is with Judon is why was he out there in the first place? You know, I think Jerod's smart enough to know, like, if you're not going to practice, you're not going to be out there. I thought it was very disrespectful. But Javon Baker, if this kid can talk, if he can play, like, a quarter as he can talk, like, I think he's the key to this offense this year, actually. I think he's a big play receiver. And if you go down the line, I think he's going to be a great, great player. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. Yeah, Javon Baker has been on the Twitter quite a bit. So back to the initial comments about Mayo, John, is you do wonder if there has been kind of like the Crafts, and we've talked about this. I honestly believe that the Crafts wanted to recontrol the narrative about their team. And I think now this year, there'll be more said in their silence than as much as you would hear Robert Kraft give his comments. Of course, you remember the infamous at the owners' meeting a couple of years ago with the dump truck behind him. Like, is he getting rid of Belichick stuff already? About saying, hey, you know, we've lost the last couple of years and playoffs are kind of mandatory. I think you'll get a quieter Kraft this year, but I think everything else that's being done is going to be amplified.
And another piece of this too, KJ, there right now, because just Mayo and Wolf are early on in their tenures, they're setting early precedents. So Devon Godshaw was mad about his contract, but he handled it mostly the right way, and they gave him a new deal. Matthew Judon, understandably, is mad about his contract, but he's not really handling it the right way. So if they give him money, what does that send? What message does that send to the rest of the locker room? Like, okay, if I get mad, I can handle it like Devon Godshaw, and I'll get paid. Or I can handle it like Matthew Judon and I'll get paid. And by the way, even if they trade him, especially to a preferred destination, what else is that? Oh, so if I get mad and pout like Judon, I can just get traded wherever I want.
Right? I too can, like, go to the NFC and win a title.
Right. So they need to be careful about what they're doing, because that was the thing before. Like, when you had Bill, you had Brady, they could just say, well, hey, you know, we've won multiple Super Bowls. We can kind of do what we want. You know, who are you to question us? Whereas Mayo, he won a Super Bowl as a player, but it's his first time being a head coach. He's only been a coach, since 2019 in general. Right. So he's got to be careful about what precedent he sets here. Like, it's like if this was last year, first of all, like we said last segment, this scene wouldn't have happened last year at practice. But also, Bill could have done whatever he kind of wanted, and he would have been able to get away with it because he had that cachet build up. Just like, you know, if Andy Reid in Kansas City told Matt Judon, hey, go home and don't come back, or if he paid him, he could kind of get away with either one because he's got that cachet built up. But
well, you know what the
Mayo
biggest difference
doesn't
is?
Have that cachet built up yet. So well, the these biggest, are precedents.
Well, the biggest difference is, and this is why free agents tended not to come to New England, because your head coach was also the person negotiating your deal. So you weren't going to be able to go out there and say, hey, Bill, you know, I know we sat down yesterday, but I need to talk to you about what happened. He could say, you know what, I can just rip up your contract. I can go back there right now and rip it up. Jerod Mayo doesn't have that power. And one of the callers mentioned as well, hey, look, you hire Alex Van Pelt before you give Jerod Mayo the job. So that's a clear marker that the Crafts are pulling.
No, they hired Mayo first.
They hired first?
Yeah.
But I guess what he was saying is that him not being able to pick Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
As his offensive coordinator.
And even going back to a year ago when it felt like Bill O'Brien, not that Belichick didn't want him, but that was as much an ownership thing as it was a Belichick thing.
I think Bill wanted Bill O'Brien because
I
think that went back to the previous year when he couldn't get him from Alabama. I think that's what he was trying to do and wouldn't let him out of his contract in Alabama.
It would work out.
So it's interesting. So we'll continue the conversation with Mayo as well, but I think the important one is about Drake May. And you heard one of the callers that May should not start day one. It's what I've said since day one, and I don't think it's a problem if you see mistakes happening in practice, because with the last quarterback, you didn't see the mistakes really start showing up until real actual games that go on the record. So I'm okay with Drake May not being ready just yet. If this takes a year, then let it be. I mean, does anyone think that, like, if you put Drake May out there, this is going to be a 9-8 team chasing for a wild card?
Yeah, and I wouldn't play Drake May for two reasons. Reason number one is I just don't think he's quite ready yet. And I was there yesterday in person. You know, I watched him, and I watched him at UNC, obviously.
Humble brag.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, that just my eyes are telling me he's not quite, not that he's bad, he's just not ready yet. But the other piece of this, KJ, who's their left tackle? Like, are you going to put a rookie quarterback out there in September when you don't know who your left tackle? Yesterday, Vidarian Lowe was repping as the first team left tackle. And they've had Caden Wallace there. They've had Chuck Sikorafor there. Now Vidarian Lowe there. Like, they don't know for sure. And I know it's still, it was only practice nine yesterday. I get it. But whoever starts the season at left tackle, it's either going to be Chuck Sikorafor, who's not played left tackle in the league outside of two snaps, or Caden Wallace, who would be a rookie first time ever playing left tackle, or Vidarian Lowe, who I don't have a lot of confidence in, at least based off what we saw last year. So I don't want my rookie quarterback have a blindside protector that I'm not confident in and have him out there in September. So I wouldn't play him for that reason alone. Plus, like I said, I just don't think he's quite there yet.
Well, so here's what's interesting about practice, and this is kind of how I am about preseason when you see everybody in pads and in shorts and so forth. I think the only reason why people pay a lot of attention is to see if a quarterback can get beat out, right? Injury, or who gets cut that's been on the team. I think that's really, really what it boils down to, people. So for the offensive line, I can't really make any boo-hoos about them until I see something like in a preseason game, right? Because let's just say if you're going up against Judon in practice and your O-line, well, there's a good chance in a real game that O-line is still going to have trouble with Judon no matter how good that O-line is. So I can't be upset or say, like, oh my gosh, who's going to do what or what's going to happen. We won't know that until you get into a preseason game or spirited, you know, joint practice where you'll get more evidence of what is and what isn't. So I'm willing to give the offensive line just a little more time, because I think with this situation now is there are going to be some players in some positions on this team, and I think O-line is one of them, that this is where Jerod Mayo may lay his attitude into if they don't come through. Like, if you're going to see something that's really going to set him ablaze, is going to be the one thing that could have him question about, hey, are you really ready to do this? And that's going to be the offensive line. So you probably have in the back of your mind, if you're Mayo, potentially, that, okay, as soon as I see something in a spirited practice, joint practice, or in the preseason game, guys maybe get ready to get cut. You might make a move. This is why you might not try and give up all this money right away to Judon, because you might find a player out there that you need to trade for to address the thing that's the most dying need for you. We've talked about Alex Van Pelt's connection back to Cleveland, and Cleveland, according to Pro Football Focus, has like the third best offensive line. So you might be able to swing a deal for maybe one of their rotating offensive linemen if you need to pay them that money and they know this system. So I'm not gonna put them on the grill just yet, even though they've been on the grill for the last couple of seasons. But I think as soon as you see something that goes wrong outside of shorts and pads, that's when you freak out.
And again, I think Thursday might tell us something, and I think the next preseason game and the joint practice with the Eagles will tell us a little bit more, especially how good their defensive line is. But this is something, remember 2 years ago how bad right tackle was?
Yeah.
And then they finally moved Mike Onwenu back out to right tackle last year and stabilized it. But now left tackle, Like, you let Trent Brown go in the offseason, which I agreed with. I didn't want him to stay here any longer.
Right.
But
social
you
media.
You didn't sign or draft or left tackle, right? So now you're in a situation where whoever's going to be playing that position is somebody that is either new to that position or is a journeyman in Vadarian Lowe. So do you really want your rookie quarterback out there risking it from the beginning? Right? You probably want to figure out, hey, is this line stable? And that's where Jacoby Brissett, at least he's a pro, so he'll know, hey, I don't have as much protection here. I'm not sure what this situation is. I need to get the ball out quickly. I need to get out of this pocket a little bit quicker. I don't think you want Drake May in that situation. And that's why even like in these preseason games, obviously May is going to play a lot, but they might need to be a little conservative play calling wise just until they figure out what's going on at that left tackle situation. And then especially, I mean, you look at their first four or five games in September and some of the defensive lines they're going against, they're going to have to figure things out pretty quickly there.
KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, the Olympic drama in women's boxing. You don't want to miss that here. Look, here's the thing that I have about May sitting and why I think it's the correct thing, and I think you just alluded to all of that. Is you have to see how the ball gets out quickly, right? Because Drake May, and even Bill Belichick said it, you know, during the draft night when he was covered, he said, like, he has a tendency to hold the ball just a little too long. If you've got a bad, let's just say all things considered that your offensive line is no better than it was the last game of last year, because like you said, you didn't really do anything to address it, then yeah, you're gonna need to know how to get the ball out quick. You're going to need to know what these routes are that you're going to have to jump on immediately. You may not have the full 2.5 seconds. You might have to be getting rid of the ball at, say, like 1.85 seconds. So you have the arm strength to do that. It's just, do you have the processing ability to do that? And this is why I think it's important for him to sit, process it, see how fast it's coming. And keep in mind, defenses are not going to say, wow, you know, we're going to have to really do some defensive scheming to really trick Jacoby Brissett because he's going to beat us with his arms and his legs. No, they're going to be bringing the house. You're going to see a lot of eight in the boxes to try and go right at Stevenson and force Jacoby Brissett to get rid of the ball quick because of that line. So these are the things that Drake May needs to see, because if you put him in there and you're seeing all these things, usually you say, he's calling a timeout on the first play of the game. So you don't want that overwhelmedness that happened with the last quarterback, which I think was happened with Mac Jones. It's just that he was overwhelmed. If Drake May does not get overwhelmed when he's out there, or when you finally put him out there, you know that the skill set is better than what you had with Mac Jones. And therefore, I think there's a better upside with Drake May coming into the season later on than trying to put him out there right away and potentially not giving the guy time to process the speed of the game.
And in addition to that, your offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, this is his first time going into the season as a play caller, right? So how is he going to approach that?
After all these years?
Right. Like, what are his growing pains going to be? How is he going to develop, you know, not just Drake May.
Screen pass!
But, yeah, not just Drake May, but also the entire offense kind of together. So do you really want a rookie quarterback in that situation where he's a rookie, his play caller, again, experienced in the league, but as a play caller is a rookie, and his left tackle is unknown? Like, I think that's not a situation conducive to success for Drake May. And also, too, this is part of the reason that the Bears took Caleb Williams at number one and the Commanders took Jaden Daniels at number two. Those guys are a little bit more ready to play to begin with. And then you have these other factors here in Foxborough where you have a first-time head coach, you know, first-time OC calling plays, new left tackle. I just don't think it makes sense to, unless May is amazing for the rest of camp and in the preseason and head and shoulders above Brissett, okay, then maybe you can play him. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense to me to play him right away.
Well, but isn't that what happened last year? Like, someone seemed to be overwhelmingly amazing last year in preseason that we said, let's go ahead and play him. Now, the other part of it was the backup was Cam Newton wasn't horrible in preseason. It's just that you knew that you could not move the offense forward from what you saw from the year before.
And he missed that like 5-day span in training, right? Which I think that made a big difference.
I think so too. I think it was kind of like, so you mean to tell me there are no doctors that are available between here and North Carolina? I'm not buying that. So I think it's one of those situations where you can't get too excited about how great Drake May can be and try and ruin that right away. I think you have to, there has to be some level of patience, right? There's just no way you can tell me that the Patriots in the best case scenario, are going to be better than the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets this year.
And that's another piece to it, right? Are you putting Drake May in and saying, hey, this guy's going to help us win a Super Bowl? Like, no. So I want Drake May to start eventually this year, but not right away. And I think, like, certain guys, like Patrick Mahomes is a great example. He didn't play until, what, the last week of his rookie season or the last couple weeks?
Right.
But then other guys are more ready to go right away. Like, and that's okay. Like, Lamar Jackson didn't play right away either. But Joe Burrow did, and I know he got hurt, but he was playing right away. He was ready to go. Like, that's, some guys are ready to go right away. Some guys aren't. And I think you need to manage that situation correctly, because if you get it wrong, we're going to be having the same conversation again 2 years from now with another rookie quarterback. So it's, again, I talked earlier about Mayo setting precedents with contracts and negotiations and all that. This is kind of part of that, too. The future of Mayo's tenure as head coach is going to come down to, hey, do we develop Drake May the correct way, and do we play him at the right time?
Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to get to, is some of this hubbubaloo about how Joe Milton versus Drake May, and one is outflashing the other. It's like, look, can we stop that? Because clearly you know that Drake May is the number three pick. He's going to be given every opportunity. Like, if you want an example.
Joe Milton is not outshining him, by the way.
Right.
Just throwing that out there.
Well, that's the other part of it, is like, there's nothing really even to compare, because you know the situation is set up for Drake May to get in there and to prove himself. Now, if Joe Milton becomes an established number two for him, or even a situation where, like, oh, maybe Joe Milton finds another team and has a future, becomes a superstar, that's really great. It's just that the team did not commit first round number three pick financial commitments. You know what I mean? That's the other part of it, right? You can't buy a $5 million home and say, well, you know, we're just going to use the garage just as storage. You know, like, no. Like, no, there should be enough room in the house to put that stuff in there. So I think that's just for clicks and for bait, and I totally get why people are doing it, but it doesn't make any sense, because you have to say, if Zach Wilson was given all those opportunities he was given in New York as the number three pick, don't you think that Drake May is going to be given at least that type of rope as well?
Yeah, and I think this whole organizational situation is about the long game. And they won't say that publicly, but I think Kraft and Mayo and Wolf and Jonathan Kraft as well, like, they look at this season and say, hey, can we be better than last year and help Drake May's development? And they'll be satisfied. And frankly, I think if you look at the long-term outlook of the organization, it makes sense. Right, like, you want to go into 2025 and say, hey, we have a good young quarterback. We have this young core that is all re-signed for multiple years. We can now challenge to be a legit playoff team. That's, I think, what they're really looking towards. And I get they won't say that publicly, because you don't want to tell your fans, hey, we're not as worried about this year record-wise. But I think that's what this whole thing is about. And that's another reason, too, I don't think you'll see Drake May early on. They look at Jacoby Brissett and say, he'll keep us in games, we'll be respectable, he'll help mentor May, and then we'll go into 2025 feeling really good. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that they re-signed a bunch of guys to multi-year deals, but Brissett's deal is only 1 year.
Right, and that tells you everything, right? If Brissett had a chance to be here for a second year, okay, then you take a two-year deal, maybe a third-year option, but clearly Brissett is telling you, a one-year deal usually tells me that you probably don't even play the whole 1 year, right?
Very possible, yeah.
Right, so you probably are playing three or four or five, maybe seven games as a resume tape for probably the next one-year deal. So the organization has told you that Drake May is going to be the quarterback no less than the beginning of next year. I think it happens before then. It's just a matter of how fast does he pick up reps on things. I think he probably gets in the game, maybe even starts that game over in London, because you're not, even though it's technically an away game, you got people wearing everybody else's jersey at the game, so it's going to be a comfortable environment, and see what he can do there without the pressures of hearing the home crowd and having the family there, or being on the way and hearing the away crowd and having everybody out there against you. So I think the Patriots realized how they did it with Mac Jones wasn't the best way, right? I've been one of those type of people who've said, hey, at what point does he pull up his own bootstraps and take cause for his own celeb? But, you know, I think the Patriots have figured out something to say, we're not going to let this happen again. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, good Sunday to you, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Madden ratings are out. We'll tell you who's got the 99s next. What's the highest number for a Patriot? You'll be shocked. Hang out.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah.
Just keep playing that, KJ. We'll take the segment off.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Hope your Sunday is as wonderful as some smooth Grateful Dead. Yeah, man. Too bad the dispensary's closed today. I'm just kidding. I think it is.
They did put in a new one, I think, across the street from the station. Or, like, not directly, but, like, kind of diagonally.
Oh,
yeah. But well, it says, like, dispensary and artisan kitchen. So I'm trying to figure out if it's a restaurant that's also a dispensary or if it's just they make high-quality
edibles. We just make cookies at your own
it's
restaurant.
It's a normal dispensary.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. See? Testing will be on Tuesday. You know, so we'll get the Lions Den here in about 3 minutes here on WEEI.
Do we want to just spend the rest of the time having Jacob tell us about the place across the street?
No.
Seems like he's pretty familiar with it.
Exactly.
He had Jacob, that answer real quick.
You want to empty your pockets before you leave here today, sir?
No, thank you.
He had that answer real quick. It's a regular one.
Did I tell you, it's a true story, did I tell you at my old job on television, remember when they released, you can kill the dead music here for a second. Like, isn't that moronic? Actually moronic. You can kill the dead music. On television, remember the day they passed where they can now deliver to your job? You remember when they passed this law?
Like vaguely off.
Okay. Yeah. So they did a story. They did a story and they happened to feature a guy I used to work with and they delivered to the radio station on the I was like, wait, because I'm watching. I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I know that place? I'm like, oh no. Oh my God. Like he's you're getting it delivered to work at the work
while you're on the air.
I don't think they were on the air. Well, you know what? Depending on what time they filmed,
that's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah. They could have walked down all while they were on the air to pick it up. Like that stuff used to get you fired and reported and arrested. Now it's just absolutely normal. 37937. What you got on the text line, Jacob?
So I have a texture comparing the Joe Milton to Kirk Cousins when the Redskins, now the Commanders, drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft?
No, and here's why. RG3, because I lived in D.C. at the time, RG3 was Dan Snyder's pick, and Kirk Cousins was the Shanahan family pick. So I think they always had an idea that Kirk Cousins was either going to be something great for them down the road or a great trading chip to get pieces that they would need. It ended up RG3 got, you know, like the owner was like, put him out there. RG3 was like, my knee, Mr. Snyder. And it was never the same for him.
Yeah, and I think the big difference is both of those guys were a lot more pro-ready than May and Milton. Like, RG3 right. won Rookie of the Year, and then when he had that unfortunate injury
situation.
Won the
Heisman, too, yeah.
Right, Kirk came in and was, you know, fine. You know, he wasn't an elite starter, but he was fine. He was ready to go the next season. I think it was like midway through whenever RG3 was out for good. So those guys were more pro-ready, and also Kirk Cousins, let's not forget, he was a third-round pick, right? So they, two of their first three picks were quarterbacks, whereas, you know, Milton was much later, and I think Milton probably is going to end up being a practice squad guy and maybe a long-term backup. I mean, I see the textures kind of, but I don't think it's quite the same.
All right, one more text, and then we'll get to the Madden ratings, and then we'll get to the Lions Den. What you got, Jacob?
I don't understand this Judon thing at all. He's going to be 32 years old and certainly on the backside of his career. The Patriots defense was good without him last year, and he has become a problem. We're not going anywhere this year. Trade his blank and grab some chips to continue our rebuild.
Yeah, unless you're a kicker, are you talking about, hey, when I'm 35, the end of my three-year deal will be up. So a linebacker who's coming off of injuries the last consecutive seasons, two seasons in a row, why would you, I mean, you would want to probably, if you're Judon, you'd want 3 years, and if you're the Patriots, you'd be like, there's just no way.
Yeah, if I'm the Patriots, the most I would want to give him is a raise this year and a deal for next year. So 2 years total this year, next year. And that's really it. Because you want, first of all, in 2021, he was healthy all year. But remember, he faded down the stretch. 2022, he was good pretty much all year. But then 2023, he gets injured 4 games in. And to the texter's point, the defense was still really good without him. Remember last year, KJ, they were losing games 6-0, right?
Like
the defense was still really good without him, and Gonzalez was out too. They're getting Gonzalez back. I think the defense is going to be really good yet again. So I can see why the team was reluctant to pay him and is still reluctant, but to go back to my original point from the beginning of the show, and if you missed it, hear it on the Odyssey app or WEI.com, they should have made this decision in February or March. Like,
yeah,
we shouldn't
still
be at
32.
This point. Right, no, but my point is, if you called somebody in March and said, hey, we know Judon was injured, will you give us a fourth or fifth round pick? You would have had it in this year's draft, been able to use it, have a young player here now, and I think you'd be in a better spot than just what's been happening on the field.
You think it's a bargaining chip for Matthew Judon that he has the highest rating on Madden 25 of all the Patriots at 88. Jabril Prepper's 85, Jonathan Jones 85, Jelani Tavai 84, Kyle Duggar 84, Juwan Bentley 82, Mike Inwenu. That tells you how bad the offensive line is. Your best offensive lineman is an 82 on Madden 2025. Madden 25. But there's five players that have been deemed 99s because, you know, this is the big deal. The 99s are, so far overall, Christian McCaffrey. If you're going to be on the cover of the game, you can't be like an 88, right?
Yeah, that's
Patrick, right? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Trent Williams. Boy, wouldn't you have loved to have seen the Patriots try and get into the middle of that deal while he was trying to figure out what he was going to do with the 49ers? Like, we'll give you everything to come over here, play left tackle, please.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, he's a 99, and Tyreek Hill are the 99. So 599 so far. The Madden ratings just came out this morning. Justin Jefferson, 98. Lamar Jackson, 98. Micah Parsons, 98. Miles Garrett, 98. That's your next five right there. So pretty impressive. So we're still talking about 10 points away, 11 points away from any Patriots being a 99. If it tells you how the Patriots going to expect
it
to perform.
I'm going through the list right now, and it's a long list before you get to any Patriots.
Oh, yeah, right. The best thing to do if you want to check it out. Actually, you know what? We'll post it to our Twitter account at WEEI if we can do that. I'll send the link, and then you can check it out, because I'm not going to just send you to the link and not the station get eaten off of this. You actually have to go down to the team if you want to get to the ratings quicker. Don't scroll down. You'll be there forever.
Yeah, you'll have to go to another page. I'm doing it right now. Like, I have to go to page two.
Hit two arrows. Yeah. That's bad.
I'm on page midway through page two.
There you go.
Page.
Halfway after the 50th Google search, right? The 50th Google reserve. There you go. All right. Still to come, we'll talk about what's going on at camp for the Patriots this week. Some more of the inside baseball portion of it. But now it is time for... Yeah!
See the one about lions?
Can't lose to this head after.
King of the jump.
All right. John decides we throw them to the lions or they will roar or meow. All right. First one. Will Drake May roar later in camp or meow until the season begins?
KJ, I think he's going to roar.
Oh, okay.
I agree. So I talked to Andy Hart yesterday. We did a Six Rings pod together, and his assessment of Drake May is fine plus, whereas he's a fine player, and he'll do the occasional plus thing. I think that trajectory continues, and he doesn't end camp as the starting quarterback, but he does end camp playing pretty well.
I'm going to roar with you, and here's why. Practice makes perfect, and this is what you would want for Drake May, more practice to perfect what he's going to do even before it's time to get to the games. All right, second one, will Jerod Mayo roar following the Judon contract dispute?
I think he will, and right now, it's a big fat meow, the whole situation. But I think, again, I said it's a learning experience for them. I think they're going to get through it, and he's a smart guy. He's going to learn from it, and we won't see a situation like this happen again.
Yeah, I agree. Jerod Mayo just had his teeth showing right now because you scream at me and then you're back at work the next day. Yeah, what a way to show your mane and show that you're king of this football jungle. So I totally agree with you. All right, final one. Will the Patriots roar in their first preseason game on Thursday night?
I think they will, and the biggest reason why is they're playing the Carolina Panthers. Because any complaints we have about the Patriots, man, the Panthers, talk about a team that meows. They stink.
I'm going to say meow, and here's why. Because I think the Panthers are one of those teams where some of their first team players are going to play extended minutes, because when you're so bad, is there really a difference between your first line starters and your third string? So different than the Philly game where you might not see any of their first string players, I think it's going to be a tougher game for the Patriots. It might be the closest one that they have to a regular season game just because the Panthers are that bad. And that is the Lions' Den, where no animals or people were hurt during the process of this bit. still to come. We got to talk about the Olympics boxing scandal that's going on. We've got more Patriots talk, Team USA basketball, the second hour of KJ and Lyons next on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah.
Just keep playing that, KJ. We'll take the segment off.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Hope your Sunday is as wonderful as some smooth Grateful Dead. Yeah, man. Too bad the dispensary is closed today. I'm just kidding. I think it is.
They did put in a new one, I think, across the street from the station. Or, not directly, but, kind of diagonally.
Oh, yeah.
But it says dispensary and artisan kitchen. So I'm trying to figure out if it's a restaurant that's also a dispensary or if it's just they make high-quality
edibles. We just make cookies at your own
restaurant. It's a normal dispensary.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. See? Testing will be on Tuesday. You know, so we'll get the Lions Den here in about 3 minutes here on WEEI.
Do we want to just spend the rest of the time having Jacob tell us about the place across?
Seems like he's pretty
familiar with it.
Exactly.
He had Jacob, that answer real quick.
You want to empty your pockets before you leave here today, sir?
No, thank you.
He had that answer real quick. It's a regular one.
Did I tell you, it's a true story, did I tell you at my old job on television, remember when they released, you can kill the dead music here for a second. Like, isn't that moronic, oxymoronic? You can kill the dead music. On television, remember the day they passed where they can now deliver to your job? You remember when they passed this law?
Vaguely off.
Okay. Yeah. So they did a story and they happened to feature a guy I used to work with and they delivered to the radio station on the I was like, wait, because I'm watching. I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I know that place? I'm like, oh no. Oh my God. Like he's you're getting it delivered to work at the work
while you're on the air.
I don't think they were on the air. Well, you know what? Depending on what time they filmed,
that's what I'm thinking, right? Yeah.
They could have walked down all while they were on the air to pick it up. Like that stuff used to get you fired and reported and arrested. Now it's just absolutely normal. 37937. What you got on the text line, Jacob?
So I have a texter comparing the Joe Milton to Kirk Cousins when the Redskins, now the Commanders, drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
No, and here's why. RG3, because I lived in D.C. at the time, RG3 was Dan Snyder's pick, and Kirk Cousins was the Shanahan family pick. So I think they always had an idea that Kirk Cousins was either going to be something great for them down the road or a great trading chip to get pieces that they would need. It ended up RG3 got, the owner was like, put him out there. RG3 was like, my knee, Mr. Snyder. And it was never the same for him.
Yeah, and I think the big difference is both of those guys were a lot more pro-ready than May and Milton. Like, RG3 right. won Rookie of the Year, and then when he had that unfortunate injury
situation.
Won
the Heisman, too, yeah.
Right, Kirk came in and was, fine. He wasn't an elite starter, but he was fine. He was ready to go the next season. I think it was, midway through whenever RG3 was out for good. So those guys were more pro-ready. And also Kirk Cousins, let's not forget, he was a third-round pick, right? So they two of their first three picks were quarterbacks, whereas you know Milton was much later. And I think Milton probably is going to end up being a practice squad guy and maybe a long-term backup. I mean, I see the texters kind of, but I don't think it's quite the same.
All right, one more text, and then we'll get to the Madden ratings, and then we'll get to the Lions then. What you got, Jacob?
I don't understand this Judon thing at all. He's going to be 32 years old and certainly on the backside of his career. The Patriots' defense was good without him last year, and he has become a problem. We're not going anywhere this year. Trade his blank and grab some chips to continue our rebuild.
Yeah, unless you're a kicker, are you talking about, hey, when I'm 35, the end of my three-year deal will be up? So a linebacker who's coming off of injuries the last consecutive seasons, two seasons in a row, why would you – I mean, you would want to probably, if you're Judon, you'd want 3 years. And if you're the Patriots, you'd be like, there's just no way.
Yeah, if I'm the Patriots, the most I would want to give him is a raise this year and a deal for next year. So 2 years total this year, next year. And that's really it because you want – first of all, in 2021 – he was healthy all year, but remember, he faded down the stretch. 2022, he was good pretty much all year. But then 2023, he gets injured 4 games in. And to the texter's point, the defense was still really good without him. Remember last year, KJ, they were losing games 6-0, right? Like the defense was still really good without him. And Gonzalez was out, too. They're getting Gonzalez back. I think the defense is going to be really good yet again. So I can see why the team was reluctant to pay him and is still reluctant, but to go back to my original point from the beginning of the show, and if you missed it, hear it on the Odyssey app or WEEI.com, they should have made this decision in February or March. Like,
yeah,
we should have been at
32.
This point. Right, no, but my point is, if you called somebody in March and said, hey, we know Judon was injured, will you give us a fourth or fifth round pick? You would have had it in this year's draft, been able to use it, have a young player here now, and I think you'd be in a better spot than just what's been happening on the field.
You think it's a bargaining chip for Matthew Judon that he has the highest rating on Madden 25 of all the Patriots at 88. Jabril Preppers, 85. Jonathan Jones, 85. Jelani Tavai, 84. Kyle Duggar, 84. Juwan Bentley, 82. Mike Inwenu. That tells you how bad the offensive line is. Your best offensive lineman is an 82 on Madden 2025. Madden 25. But there's five players that have been deemed 99s because you know this is the big deal. The 99s are, so far overall, Christian McCaffrey, if you're going to be on the cover of the game, you can't be like an 88, right?
Yeah, that's
Patrick,
true.
Right? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Trent Williams. Boyd, wouldn't you have loved to have seen the Patriots try and get into the middle of that deal while he was trying to figure out what he was going to do with the 49ers? Like, we'll give you everything to come over here, play left tackle, please.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right, he's a 99, and Tyreek Hill are the 99. So 599 so far. The Madden ratings just came out this morning. Justin Jefferson, 98. Lamar Jackson, 98. Micah Parsons, 98. Miles Garrett, 98. That's your next five right there. So pretty impressive. So we're still talking about 10 points away, 11 points away from any Patriots being a 99. If it tells you how the Patriots are going to expect
it
to perform.
I'm going through the list right now, and it's a long list before you get to any Patriots.
Oh, yeah, right. The best thing to do if you want to check it out. Actually, you know what? We'll post it to our Twitter account at WEEI if we can do that. I'll send the link, and then you can check it out. Because I'm not going to just send you to the link and not the station get eaten off of this. You actually have to go down to the team if you want to get to the ratings quicker. Don't scroll down; you'll be there forever.
Yeah, you'll have to go to another page. I'm doing it right now. Like yeah, I have to go to page two.
Hit two arrows. Yeah. That's bad.
I'm on page up midway through page two.
There you go. Page. Halfway after the 50th Google search, right? The 50th Google search. There you go. All right. Still to come, we'll talk about what's going on at camp for the Patriots this week. Some more of the inside baseball portion of it. But now it is time for. Yeah.
See the one about lions.
Can't lose to this guy after.
King of the jungle.
All right, John decides, we throw them to the lions, or they will roar or meow. All right, first one. Will Drake May roar later in camp or meow until the season begins?
KJ, I think he's going to roar.
Oh, and okay.
I agree. So I talked to Andy Hart yesterday. We did a Six Rings pod together, and his assessment of Drake May is fine plus, whereas he's a fine player, and he'll do the occasional plus thing. I think that trajectory continues, and he doesn't end camp as the starting quarterback, but he does end camp playing pretty well.
I'm going to roar with you, and here's why. Practice makes perfect, and this is what you would want for Drake May, more practice to perfect what he's going to do even before it's time to get to the games. All right, second one, will Jerod Mayo roar following the Judon contract dispute?
I think he will. And right now, it's a big fat meow, the whole situation. Yep. But I think, again, I said it's a learning experience for them. I think they're going to get through it, and he's a smart guy. He's going to learn from it, and we won't see a situation like this happen again.
Yeah, I agree. Jerod Mayo just had his teeth showing right now because you scream at me, and then you're back at work the next day? Yeah, what a way to show your mane and show that you're king of this football jungle. So I totally agree with you. All right, final one. Will the Patriots roar in their first preseason game on Thursday night?
I think they will, and the biggest reason why is they're playing the Carolina Panthers. Because any complaints we have about the Patriots, man, the Panthers, talk about a team that meows. They stink.
I'm going to say meow, and here's why. Because I think the Panthers are one of those teams where some of their first team players are going to play extended minutes, because when you're so bad, is there really a difference between your first line starters and your third string? So different than the Philly game where you might not see any of their first string players, I think it's going to be a tougher game for the Patriots. It might be the closest one that they have to a regular season game just because the Panthers are that bad. And that is the Lion's Den, where no animals or people were hurt during the process of this bit. Still to come, we got to talk about the Olympics boxing scandal that's going on. We've got more Patriots talk, Team USA basketball, the second hour of KJ and Lions next on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.